Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, everyone, to the Madly Chasing Peace radio show with Dina Proctor. I'm a life coach, speaker, creator of 3x3 meditation, and author of the best-selling book, Madly Chasing Peace, How I Went From Hell to Happy in 9 minutes a Day. I love helping people transform their lives and find peace and happiness 3 minutes at a time. My passion for this show is asking my guests to share their stories of inspiration and success and the importance of mindset and emotion in creating a life of wellness, healing, abundance, and balance. You can learn more about me and my journey on my website, which is madlychasingpeace.com. And so joining me today, let me share her bio with you. She's a really interesting, wonderfully gentle human being. Actually, Dr. Cynthia Thike is her name, and she's here with me. It's funny because we had connected in terms of planning for her to be a guest on this show, and we didn't get the recording time together yet and all of that. We ended up sitting at the same table at a conference in Los Angeles just a few weeks after that. It was just such a wonderful synchronicity to be meeting her in person. So it's nice to have that kind of energy, to have the faith with the name and all of that. So anyway, Harvard-trained Dr. Cynthia Thike is a heart doctor that practices with her heart. She delivers security and peace of mind to her clients by orchestrating behavioral and mindset shifts to evoke lasting transformational changes in their health, well-being, vitality, energy, and creativity. She's helped thousands of people make changes to transform their lives through the way that they think, feel, and act. Dr. Cynthia will explore the dynamic growth and healing processes of our ever-evolving hearts and the importance of treating our health, hearts, and lives as gifts. An acclaimed cardiologist as well as a practicing Buddhist, Dr. Cynthia unites Eastern and Western medicine to uncover the mind-body connection that places the power of healing back into the hands of patients. You can learn more about Cynthia and meet her and see about her book. Her website is yourvibrantheart.com. And I just think it's perfect for this kind of Valentine's theme to have her on talking about not only our physical, but also, you know, the kind of non-physical and the love and the energy of the heart. Cynthia, thank you so much for being here. Welcome.
Thank you, Dina. It's great to be here. And just to send your readers to, or your listeners to another site as well, my main website is drcynthia.com, and that's where I have my blogs and my videos, and so they can check that out also.
Oh, okay, great. So drcynthia.com, just drcynthia.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I should have asked you that before we started the show. I just saw the book site. But anyway, so I'd love for you to share a bit of your story. You know, obviously you were trained in Western medicine, went to Harvard, and then kind of married with Eastern medicine, and now you use both within your practice. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about your personal story and your journey.
Great. Yeah, you know, for most of us that are fortunate now to be living their soul's purpose, there's always a journey, right? And so, and I find that for myself as well. I very much do believe that we come on into this universe with our journey or our purpose already pre-programmed into us. But most of us have to go through a process, a growth process, a learning process to discover that, right? And so for myself, I knew I wanted to be a physician. I knew I wanted to be in the sort of the healing arts ever since I was very young. My mom is a physician, and I wasn't born here in the States. I grew up in Burma, or Myanmar, as it's called now. And my mom's a physician, and I remember even at a very young age of six, you know, just accompanying her to her clinic, and just rows and rows of patients just lined up to see her. And there wasn't all this modern medicine, all this technology. What I remembered very vividly is my mom's gentle smile, you know, her loving touch, her embrace, and what she was able to invoke in the patients themselves was what I've come to call, you know, the loving arts of healing, of self-healing. And so that is really my first vivid memory of really having a clear vision of what I wanted to do. And then fast forward, you know, the United States coming over with all the Western technology, all the Western training, and I was absolutely enamored by all that. And so for the first 20 years or so of my career, my practice, I was, you know, very much the sort of the straight Western doctor, you know, practicing by the books, you know, very research-oriented, and obviously using the pharmacology and all the tools and technology.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the process of just, you know, the daily grind of doing, and having that Asian mentality, too, of needing to excel, right, pushing myself, and pushing my children and so forth as well, I think I reached a point of just burned out and being overstressed, feeling disconnected from my children. I think not really showing up in my practice, in my business, in the authentic human, you know, nature that was really the beginning of why I even wanted to go into this healing arts to begin with. And I remember, you know, one day I had gone to San Jose to visit my mom, and the door opened, and right away she gasped and said, "Cynthia, when was the last time you saw a physician?" And in that moment, she could see in me what I hadn't been able to see in myself for the months of looking at myself in the mirror, despite the fact that I was, you know, having shortness of breath, fatigue, feeling very tired and drained. And what ended up happening was, indeed, she was right, it was very anemic. I actually, my hemoglobin had gone down to 5, which is like 1/3 of the blood, normal blood volume. And really the reason for my physical manifestation. But I always teach my patients now that, you know, the body is just a physical reflection, a physical manifestation of what's going on within you. And if you don't listen, okay, if you don't listen, the body initially comes sort of tapping and then starts, you know, pounding and starts banging. And if you don't listen, it kicks the door in. That's essentially what happened to me, was my door got kicked in. And it made me wake up. It made me realize that, hey, you have just gone so far away from your Eastern belief, your Buddhist faith, for your practices of being mindful and centered. And you know, and the person you've become is not recognizable anymore. And so it gave me pause. It really made me take a breath. You know, it's nothing like, I say, you know, being on the other side of the bed sheets, you know, being the patient on the other side and looking out and seeing your own, you know, humanness, your own mortality, and realizing that you're not the person that you intended to be. And I started my journey back to who I am at the very core, who the authentic person that I am. And what has emerged is just this, you know, I feel so blessed, this wonderful, you know, creative, connected to life, connected to my family, to my children, connected to my patients, and my ability to really communicate that love, that loving intent, that healing, you know, gift to my patients.
How beautiful. I love how the whole journey kind of came full circle, you know, for you. Really amazing. And I love the whole, you know, our physical heart and our non-physical heart, because when we talk about love and we talk about the heart and we point to that area of the body, when I was, you know, kind of growing up and learning in science class and everything, it seems like the two were just completely not related. Almost like, why do we use that word for this heart, this blood pumper that's in my body? So I'd love to have you kind of talk about the non-physical heart and the physical heart, like how they are really, really one, and and one is a reflection of the other, you know, kind of the, like what you were saying before about when we're having discord in our lives or emotional stuckness, it's manifesting and being mirrored in the body. So I'd love you to share a little bit more about how exactly they are so intertwined.
Absolutely. You know, my practice as a cardiologist, as a heart doctor, absolutely opened up once I came to the realization that the physical heart, the physical components of the heart is just a small subset, a small fraction, and that there's so many facets to the heart. And truthfully, the other facets beyond just the physical are more important to be tended to. So it's that emotional heart, it's that mental heart, the ability for us to really connect to our heart's intelligence, to think with our heart, to lead with our heart, to, you know, to be heart-centered, to be heart-driven, and to connect to that, you know, ultimate spiritual aspect of our heart, you know, our inner guide, which again is centered deep in the core of our heart. And unless someone is able to really identify with their heart in that manner, they will not, you know, truly appreciate optimal health, optimal heart health. And so that's what I, you know, a good part of my practice now is my teaching my patients to recognize that, yes, you might be coming in to see me for a physical heartache or heart pain or palpitation or shortness of breath, and their physical symptoms, physical manifestation, but they underlie a much deeper issue, and it is the stress in your life. It is not being, it's being disconnected from that authentic heart. You know, it's not tapping into your heart's intuition, learning how to listen to your heart. That is oftentimes the true root of the problem. And so I try and open their eyes to that. I try and open their hearts to that.
I love that. One of the quotes in your book, I'm just going to read it, is, "Those who follow their hearts against all reason find greatness. Those who deny their hearts find happiness quite elusive." So it's what you're talking about, you know, the voice of the heart, that kind of intuitive guidance, that intuitive wisdom. And we're also talking, you know, just in the theme, we're on Valentine's Day week, about love and gratitude and how that makes a difference, not only in us spiritually and emotionally, but actually physically, in the body too.
Absolutely. You know, the heart, at its very core has multiple functions. There's the biophysiologic function, which we typically associate with our heart, you know, the pumping of the blood, circulation, the blood pressure, the heart rate. But beyond that, you know, there's the neural connectivity, and actually the heart sends more connections, more signals to our brain and our mind than vice versa. You know, and then there's the biochemical with the cascade of all sorts of hormones and neurotransmitters, from the adrenaline, norepinephrine, the cortisol, the stress hormones, to the DHEA, the oxytocin, the love hormones, and the heart, and how we connect to our heart, and whether we're leading with high vibrational energy, thoughts and feelings and emotion, versus the negative low vibration, will really dictate those, you know, those biochemical function. And then the last component of the heart and function of the heart is the electrical, the sort of the electrical magnetic, that we actually can, through our heart and through our heart intention, through the love that we send out into the world, can connect with other, you know, individuals in our you know immediate sphere, but also into our community and to the, you know, into the globe. And HeartMath, as you know, has done a lot of research and so forth with that. And, you know, when you think about, you know, the practices like the Buddha, you know, loving meditation practices, it really centers on using the energy of our heart to send out love into the universe. And that loving energy truly has a you know, magical power to heal, to heal not just physical problems, but also the emotional heartaches. And so if we can always think to come back to that, think to come back to love, to gratitude, to appreciation, joy, it just opens up your heart. You can feel that energy. You can actually feel the physicality of that emotion.
Mm-hmm. It's really beautifully said what you're saying, and I love knowing, because we think about, you know, I used to largely think about a body more as like a machine. You know, this does this part and that connects, and if a part breaks, it can be replaced, you know, almost like a car or something like that. But when you realize that everything has its own electromagnetic field, like I remember reading something, I think it was Greg Braden's work or research, or maybe he was quoting somebody else, that there were the heart electromagnetic field is like 5,000 times stronger than the mind or the brain. And I'd always thought that the brain was where everything happened. The mind was where everything was happening. But I know what you're saying, because I feel that. When I feel my intuitive guidance, it's more in my solar plexus than it is in my head. And, you know, so I get what you're saying. And I'd love, Cynthia, can you describe a little bit or tie together how it is that, you know, the intuitive guidance, if we're listening to it and we're tapping into love and gratitude, how does that become physical? Is it like hormones being secreted that has it become body? Is it like the neurotransmitters or the electromagnetic? Like how is it, what ties the non-physical or energetic kind of heart into the physicality of our body? Like I want to understand it, how practical it is to have real results by just focusing on love and gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Well, all of the above. And so when I talked about the four functions of the heart, so when you mm-hmm. are meditating on love and gratitude on a biophysiologic level, several things happen. Your heart rate slows down. You get the heart rate variability stabilizes, your blood pressure downregulates, right? On the mm-hmm. biochemical aspect, your stress cortisol level comes down, your adrenaline, norepinephrine, all the adrenergic parameters come down. Meanwhile, your parasympathetic gets upregulated, and you get your DHEA, which is the anti-aging hormones, gets activated. On the neurochemical level, your heart sends out electrical signal or neural signal to your brain, as well as to your other organs. So your gut, for example, which is a lot of people think of that as the second brain, where you know you talked about your solar plexus. It regulates the immune system. It is tied into resilience and fortitude and ability to not only have physical strength, but emotional strength, emotional resilience. And then the sort of that nebulous, the electromagnetic, so the vibratory waves, you know, that goes out with quantum physics into the universe where, you know, I know you're familiar with that butterfly effect where, you know, a little flapping of a butterfly on one side of the globe will literally impact you know, the energies on the other side of the globe. And so we are all connected on an electromagnetic field, on a quantum field. And it is really through our emotions, through those vibratory emotions, you know, emotions or energy and motion, and that goes out into the spirits. And that's for both positive and negative emotions. And so I know we've all experienced when you walk into the room and, you know, it just feels ice cold because of the negative emotions that's in there, right? And by the same token, you can walk into a room or a space and just feel that warmth and that love and that care and kindness that envelopes you, and it brings a smile to your face. And in a split moment, you can feel the your biochemistry changing and so forth.
Wow, I love that. Yeah, and you're exactly right, because when you walk into a room or a party or a dinner or a restaurant, you can tell, like, I don't like the vibe, or this vibe doesn't resonate with me. And that's kind of what you're getting at. It's like, it's almost like how dogs smell fear type of thing. There's something we're picking up on. Really interesting. Really interesting to know.
Is it a different sphere? but is palpable.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Because I'm thinking, you know, that's been my experience with it too, you know. And really, it's really great to understand that. I know in your book you talk about processes or, you know, specific ways to be able to be more heart-centered, to be less in, you know, what may be keeping us stuck or habits that we want to break. You talk a lot about the, you know, the foods and nourishment and leaving behind bad behaviors, smoking, drinking, that sort of thing. And, you know, one of the things you had put in there, I'm taking a tangent, but I'm just remembering one of the things you had put in there, and I think it was in the stop smoking section, was along the lines of not really efforting it, not overly using willpower, but kind of letting go of that and letting the process happen. And that feels so heart-centered rather than mind, head, willpower-centered. You know, I really liked how you tied that in.
Absolutely. I think that far too many people try to change a habit by brute force, by willpower. And what I say to people is that, you know, just the willpower, if you have an image of it, it implies conflict, right? It is, you know, one side of you, you know, trying to strong-arm the other side of you. And it doesn't need to be that way. Life doesn't need to be that way. Any decision that you make with respect to changing a paradigm or a habit doesn't need to be that way. There needs to be a more of a free-flowing, a gentleness, a willingness, an acceptance, and as you said, an allowing. You know, so you put an intention out there. You make a decision. You put an intention out there. And then you allow the process to happen. If you find that you are having to use willpower or it's a struggle, then you haven't made the decision. And for me, as a physician, absolutely I would want my patients to not be smoking. And I talk to them about the negative impacts of that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I tell them, I honor you. I honor you for wherever you are in the process. And so if you're not ready to make this decision, if you honestly love to smoke, then validate that. At the very core, be authentic about that. And then work towards changing your mindset about that. You know, that has to be the first process.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree, because when you're resisting it, it kind of gets worse, and you get to that place of deprivation, and then we get into it's so hard, or I need a reward, or, you know, the willpower. I think of willpower a little bit like adrenaline. It's we can use it in short bursts, but it's not meant to be sustainable. We've got to switch to being purely inspired and wanting it, and that's what you're talking about, the decision, cutting off the other options, focusing singularly. I love that. Really great, really, really good point. So, Cynthia, could you talk a little bit about the processes, like how to get ourselves to be calmer, more heart-centered, how to bring this into our everyday life so that we're experiencing, you know, having a better life and living from our hearts, getting out of our heads and stress and all of that and living from that space of being heart-centered?
Yeah. You know, I think it was Bob Proctor that I heard this from, where he says, you know, peace is not something that you get. It is an inner state that you become, you know, as a result of you know, how you live your life. And that's, to me, is what I aspire to. And that's what I, you know, connected us together. And I love your book and the topic that you have spent your career, you know, bringing forward to people, is how do you get that elusive peace, right? How do you get to a place of inner peace? And what I tell people is that at the very core, that is what nature, that is what God, that's what the universe wants us to be. You know, I talk about the heart of the Buddha, or the vibrant heart, you know, being the birthright. of every human being. You know, and, you know, the Buddha says in its natural state is, you know, is just pure and loving and, you know, a calm and peace. But, you know, it is us that gets in the way. You know, we get entangled in the self, in the small self, and in fear and worry and doubts. Okay? And so if you can allow for the gentle process, if you can think of it as coming back home to nature, coming back home to how it does to be, and have an ease and a flow about it, that's the first step. That's the first step. And I always tell people, you have a friend in you. You have that inner guide. You have that spirit in you that is connected to source, and is connected to community, and is connected to each and every one of us beings. And it's so important to be able to connect to that side of our nature, that infinite side of our nature, and to allow, you know, that guide to steer the way. And to be able to stop and to listen, to notice, to appreciate, to be able to really connect to that spirit within us. And it is a process. It is a process that you have to repeat and be consistent with, which is what I love about your 3-minute meditations, right? It doesn't have to be hard, but you have to be committed.
Mm-hmm. It's like working a muscle. You know, I feel that it's a spiritual muscle, and you need to work it out consistently.
That's
and right. You get stronger and stronger with it. Cynthia, before we transition into the meditation, I always lead a 3-minute meditation before we close out the show. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you feel inspired to share? Anything that feels important to leave listeners with before we go into the meditation?
I think that the most important thing for your listeners to meditate on, particularly as we get into Heart Month, is to practice the art of self-care, of self-love, to tender to our heart, to really be able to look at our physical body and look at what we're doing to ourselves in terms of our nutrition, in terms of our fitness, to make sure that we're taking care of our physical body. But then also take care of our emotional heart. You know, do the practices of self-care. Bring music and dance and laughter and joy into our hearts, into our lives. Make sure we're connecting with other people. And then at the very end of the day, make sure that we're showing up in service of others. I think that particularly for this being Heart Month, and Valentine's Day, and the month of love, that we shine our light and we shine our love onto others, and when we do that, when we get ourselves out of our own head, out of our own self, then the universe will provide. And I have this gentleness in my approach that health and healing is there for the taking. Is there. That's our homeostasis point. That's our the core that we will naturally, our body and our mind, our soul will naturally go to. And we just have to allow that process to happen.
Mm-hmm. Just allowing. And even the cadence that you have and the gentleness that you speak with, Cynthia, you can just feel you being in flow with it. It's really beautiful, and it's wonderful to be part of and to share with. And I love your emphasis on just letting it be in flow. And the Bob Proctor thing, like, we're not creating that inside of ourselves. It's we're allowing it to be created. So beautiful. And I have a nice kind of visual that you're inspiring me to lead in the meditation. So it's a perfect little lead up. So anybody listening in, if you'd like to join, I'm just going to lead us through a 3-minute meditation. Cynthia, you're obviously welcome to be part of it as well if you'd like. If you want to just take a second, and if you need to shake out your body or shift your position or anything, just go ahead and arrange yourself so you feel comfortable and relaxed for these couple of minutes. And then as your body settles in, just feel anything that you no longer want to hold on to, anything stressful or that feels heavy, just allow it and let it flow and melt right out of your being. Just kind of take a couple breaths and realize and be present to allowing anything you no longer want to hold on to during this meditation. Just let it easily flow and melt right out of your being. And as you feel yourself relax and feel a little bit lighter, a little bit more focused and present, I invite you to bring your conscious awareness and your intention onto your heart area, your physical heart, your chest, your solar plexus area of the body. Just let your breath be right there in the heart. Just all of your attention, all of your focus, right there around your heart. And I kind of sort of imagine that as I do this, I'm increasing with my attention, I'm increasing the power, the energetic, like kind of giving a boost to my heart. And I'm imagining that it kind of has that a little bit of a swirling energy around it. And that energy can tether out into the universe. And so just for this meditation, imagine that there are tethers, energetic tethers, emanating from your heart, and have them connect with whoever on the planet, physical or non-physical, someone who's past or someone who's alive. Let your energetic heart tether to and provide energy to another person's heart. Anybody that you feel inspired to connect with, you can even do more than one. Just let the energy that you're building, that strength of your heart energy, tether out and connect to and enhance the heart energy of that person, that those others. So just breathe right there for another few moments, just knowing that your heart, with your attention to it, can become even stronger presence in the world. And has the ability to reach anyone in the universe and provide them with a stronger, with a strong presence, a force of good that you're reaching out with towards them. It's really that feeling. That's what love is for me. Love is just, you know, the centeredness, the best I have of myself, reaching out and embracing and sharing with the best of others. So let yourself take another breath just in that space, just in that space of that strong heart energy and that connection with other people. Taking one last deep breath in. And then when you're ready, you can release that breath and take a moment and readjust. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and return your attention into the room that you're in. I really like that kind of visual because I feel like sometimes the best thing we can do for other people is connect with them, with their highest selves, their deepest essence, their heart, like having our heart connect with and boost them. I just feel it's kind of like praying for someone. You know, you're sending them your energy towards their greater good, and it just feels so good to do that. So, I hope that was as helpful for you. It was really kind of nice for me to get into that space. So Cynthia, I just so appreciate it. I'm so glad that we've connected. I loved your book. I'm just so glad that you're out there in the world doing the work that you do. And I so appreciate, I know you're incredibly busy and taking out your time to share your wisdom with me and with the listeners here. Thank you so, so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Dina. And if I could, you know, just give a gift to your listeners if they want to download an electronic copy of my book. They can do so on my website, drcynthia.com, and then just /free book.
Okay, perfect. So drcynthia.com/free book.
Yes.
I love it. That's great. Awesome. Well, Cynthia, it's just been great. I look forward to our paths crossing again in the future. I trust that they will. I wish you the best in your practice. And for everybody listening in, I thank you so much for being part of this community and this show. Again, Cynthia's website, Dr. Cynthia, drcynthia.com. And if you want her book, you can go to drcynthia.com/free book. And you can always find me at madlychasingpeace.com. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you again next week.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.